Please turn in your scripture No, we're good. Thank you. I just look that way sometimes. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. We're going to zero in briefly this morning on one of those solas, the Word of God. And I'll tell you why. As I was reflecting on the five solas, I had a flashback to my father. This was our family Bible. It's beaten up. I have many memories of gathering around the table, morning, noon, and night, that he would read from the Word of God. Sometimes he used the Today devotional that was there. But otherwise, he began in Genesis, and we started reading, and we had to sit around as children. And I'll be honest, it was boring. We think of, as siblings, we remember there were eight of us kids around the table at one time. And when Dad was reading, we would try distracting one another. And I think for my dad, reading that, probably this Bible is beat up as it was because, you know, like he wonders, are they really getting it? But something happened during that time. We learned the stories of the Bible. The Word of God is alive and powerful. And I hope that your family Bibles look like this a little bit. Because it's been said if your Bible is beat up, you know, it's owned by Christians who are very assured of their salvation. Because the Bible alone tells us everything that we need to know about who God is, why this world is in the state that it's in, why we need Jesus more than anything else, and more than that, how we can come to Jesus Christ. So, the Word of God. I was thinking about that this week and just remembering, I'm not saying Dad did everything perfectly, just like we weren't perfect children. He was not a perfect father, and he would be the first to admit that. But just the fact that he kept pointing us to the Word of God paid dividends. So here Paul is writing a letter, and he says, as for you, Timothy, this is 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Timothy had godly mother and a godly grandmother, Eunice, his mom, Lois, his grandmother, that as a child, he was beginning to learn the Word of God. Then Paul goes on. It's able to make you wise for salvation. All of Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And moving on to chapter 4, verse 1, I think this section is connected. In the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situation, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. My message is very simple and direct this morning. If you hear anything else this loud and clear, you can trust the Bible. You can. Amen. But there's more. We say sola scriptura is, it's a belief that the scripture is the final authority of our life. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? Do we believe that the word of God is really the authority in our life? That as we read the Bible, that we are going to then obey? Because that's what we do to authority. Those that are in authority over our lives tell us what we need to do. And God, with all his best intentions, says, I want to tell you how to make it through life, and I'm going to give you my word. Now, you might say, does that tell us everything we need? Does the Bible tell us everything? Like, can you learn mathematical equations there? Can you learn other things? Can the Bible tell me who to marry? Can the Bible tell me what job I should have when I grow up? It doesn't tell us everything, but it gives us guidelines. It'll tell you what kind of a person you need to marry. It'll tell you how to live your life to be holy and pleasing to Him. And the Bible is the authority for our life. Now, the authors of the Belgic Confession, another one of our confessions of faith, said we must believe the Bible without doubt. You cannot question the Word of God. You don't believe it just because your mom and dad say you should. That's a good thing when you're very young, but you, sooner or later, have to do more than just believe it because your mom and dad say it's true. You have to believe it more than just because your church says it's true. Here's how the Belgic Confession Article 5 says it. Because the Holy Spirit testifies in our heart that these words are from God, and also because they prove themselves to be from God. See, the Bible regulates our faith. It's like a regulator, a temperature setter. It'll tell us how we are to live our life. It is the authority for our life. It's also very sufficient. It's everything we need. It's more than enough. Do you believe that with all your heart? The Bible is more than enough in my life. Belgic Confession Article 7 says, we believe that the Holy Scriptures contain the will of God completely, and that everything one must believe to be saved is sufficiently taught. Well, the Bible is our first only in the Scripture. Only Scripture, sola scriptura for salvation. And when I say salvation, it's more encompassing than just being saved and going to heaven. That's all I need to know. No, it tells us so much more. It tells us about the big God that we serve and why we need to serve Him. It's the main things in the Bible, says one of my favorite preachers, are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. The Bible's not that difficult to understand, really, in essence. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, Paul is encouraging Timothy, and he says, as for you, Timothy, in comparison to those imposters that he had talked about, those that go from bad to worse, the deceivers and those who are being deceived, unlike those people, Timothy, I want you to continue in what you have learned, what you grew up knowing from your earliest days on, what your mom taught you and what your grandmother taught you too. Believe it with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I have this beautiful, beautiful, I'm a proud grandpa sometimes, you know, but I have this cute, cute picture. I'll show it to you sometimes if you want to see my grandkids. This is why I believe that from the earliest times, teach your children memory verses. So, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 6. A three-year-old, and I'm so proud. And I'm saying now, as he remembers that, that's going to stick with him for life. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. See, the Bible tells us everything that we need. Beginning from Genesis to Revelation, it tells us why we need salvation. See, in the Old Testament, it also is always pointing. The Bible, you sometimes say, like, it's so hard to understand. It really isn't if you just have a couple of hooks to think about. In the Old Testament, Jesus is anticipated. It was all talking about how someone is going to come to make the wrongs right. Well, then the Gospels come along. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and there Jesus is incarnated. The one that was promised is taking on flesh and living in our midst. In Acts, Jesus is proclaimed. In the epistles, like what we're reading here in 2 Timothy, Jesus Christ is explained. In the book of Revelation, it's not that scary of a book. It's just telling us that in the end, Jesus is going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whatever we're going through this life, it's going to be okay. That's why we need to get a copy of the Word of God into our hands and into our lives. Not just so that we will be bookish people that we can spout off Psalm 150 verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. No, it's more than that, because as we learn the scriptures more and more, it becomes a part of who we are and how we live in the world. Well, Paul says in Romans 10, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how could they hear without someone preaching to them? Well, that's what we find the apostles doing in Acts chapter 2. Peter is proclaiming Jesus Christ. From the Old Testament, he says, hey, he was coming and you crucified him on the cross. And the people that heard his message were, it said, cut to the heart. And in Acts chapter 2, 38, they asked, what shall we do? What shall we do with this? We realized we put Jesus to death. We need him. And Peter said, and this bears repeating over and over again, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not Peter that was doing the work there. It's not the pastor here. It's not the words that I say per se that changes your heart. It's that combination of proclaiming the Word of God. My challenge is, and I have to answer to God one day for every word that has spoken from this pulpit. Every pastor feels the weight of that. That we have to be responsible. But it's not my work. It's the Holy Spirit's work to help you to make sense. If I'm doing my job with the Spirit's help and you doing your job as listeners, your life will be transformed. You will be cut to the heart. You will want to change. And that's what it happened in the early chapter of Acts. The Word of God settled on the soil, the fertile soil of 3,000 people's lives, and they were changed. Oh, the Word of God is sufficient. It's sufficient for salvation. Secondly, sola scriptura, only scripture for transformation. The Bible is sufficient to save us. It's sufficient to transform us. And that's what God is doing. He's breathing His Word into our life so that you and I can be equipped to serve God in the way that we should. And he says that that's really the purpose in 16 and 17. As you read it there, it says, why is the Word of God being preached? It's so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Another way of saying it, so that you can know how to live your life in a way that pleases God. And then we can go back. It's useful for teaching. So in other words, there are things that we don't know. That's why we have to learn from the earliest childhood on the words of the Scripture. That's why I think education never ends at high school or college and beyond. We continually have to be involved in studying the Word together, of living life together, having Scripture constantly relayed to us, because we don't know all of the answers. I'm still learning things all the time. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking. It points out errors. There are times when I'm living my life and I just go crash into a wall of disobedience. It points out where things in my life aren't right. There are things in my heart that are not right. And I need to then go a different direction. Wrong behaviors must be confronted. Dangers must be flagged against the standard of God's word so that people can be restored to right fellowship with God. Then he says it's also useful for correcting. That's sort of adjusting the course of our life. So if I am wrong about God in this point of my life and I continue to live my life with a wrong notion of God, I get further and further away from the truth. It's like a ship that needs to be corrected, adjusted, recalibrated so that their life is living directly to God's glory. And then for training in righteousness. I'm going over this very quickly, but it's just a reminder to all of us. Training in righteousness, I always think of those stubborn calves that needed to learn how to trust my lead. And so you put the halter on them, and they have to learn to follow you. And that's really the setting direction of our life. Or if you'd rather use a horticulture illustration, that's what we do with trees. We trim certain branches so that it grows in a certain direction and so that we can optimize the sunlight that comes in and the tree can grow healthy and strong. It's like an athlete that learns a certain motion, a certain swing over and over again until it becomes second nature. That's why I want to say to each one of us, we need to get the Word of God more and more into our lives. I don't know what you were expecting when you came here this morning. I don't know if you came hungry for the Word of God or if you just backed in to this worship service today because it's what I always do. I just come. But were you hungry this morning? Were you hoping to hear a word from the Lord? Or did you just want to have a few words that maybe help you make your life a little bit better? Now, I wonder, is our heart pierced from Sunday to Sunday, pierced to the core by the proclamation of God's word? That, I think, is what they were fighting for in the Reformation. We want the word of God to continue to be alive and powerful. Hebrews 4, verse 12, that it will cut us to the core. It will shine us. It will make us more hungry for the Word of God. So I ask you, is the Word of God sufficient for you today? Can you own sola scriptura? And if you say yes to that, then the challenging question for all of us is, so how does that look differently when we leave this place? Is Sunday morning the only time that you take in the Word of God? I trust and pray that it's not. I see delightful things, and when we have our family visits, we learn about how wonderfully you're taking the truth of God in your life. What does it look like today? Here's the challenge. Let's get down on our knees and ask God to fill our hearts with a love for Jesus Christ through his word. Let's stay on our knees. Stay on our knees until he fills us with a passion for the word of God. And we not only say, that's more than enough for everything I need, but that we actually live it. And then let's take the word of God into our homes and to the streets wherever we go. Amen. God, you alone are righteous. Transform us, each one of us, by your word. Your judgments are right. Transform us by your word. Your precepts are unforgettable. Transform us by your word. Give us the understanding that we need and we will live. Reform us, reconcile us, transform us by your word. Gracious God, we know that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. So make us hungry for your word, that it may nourish us today, tomorrow, and every day until the day that we meet you face to face and are fully satisfied in you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.